What's happening, everybody? You're now tuning into the Producer's Corner with Spud Too Tight, and I have another special show for you today. On the phone with me, I have a returning guest who is here to share his newest CD release from the contemporary jazz quartet group 4Play. Please welcome legendary drummer and percussionist and producer Harvey Mason Sr. How's it going, Harvey? Welcome back.
Thanks, Bud. It's great to be back. How you been doing?
Oh, pretty good, man. Thank you so much for taking your time, Harvey, and coming back to the show and you know, talk about your new guys' CD, man.
Esprit de Four.
Esprit de Four. Nice.
Yes, exactly.
Now, describe for me, Harvey, the difference between this CD and the previous release, Let's Touch the Sky, because I had a chance to interview you guys on that one as well.
Well, I love the first. I love Let's Touch the Sky. It was our first CD with Chuck, and I mean, it was great. It had a great feeling of the great tunes, and we first experienced excitement of a new guitarist. And this next one was a little more in depth. We kind of got into a little more. We're developing a little more, and we're finding our way with Chuck and becoming has a little more of a, still has a 4Play sound, but we're starting to develop a sound with Chuck as well. And I think it's moved a little more towards a little more playing, a little edgier, but still with the romantic vibe. So we're developing, and it's moving forward, and I think it's really great. There's so much love and heart in the new music that it's just wonderful.
Oh, I love it. I totally agree with you, Harvey. From start to finish, you know, it was just impressive composition and arrangement. It's definitely, I call, what I like to call mood tracks, man. We're just kind of set you in the mood. And there's so many different transitions in you guys' composition. It really just takes me all over the place, man. I love it.
Yes, all the songs are great. And I think it's diverse. You don't get bored because it's not one thing. And there's a little bit of everything for everyone.
Definitely.
So I think our fans are, to date, they've been happy. And I think our records, CD's already been number one. Billboard is one number one added play on the playlist in the format, and it's been doing really, really well.
Now, how many songs did you get a chance to produce on an album on your own?
Two. I did two.
Okay,
pretty much did two on the CD.
Sure.
And Venus is mine, and Esprit de Four is my other song.
Nice. You know, what I like about 4Play, Harvey, you know, it's each of you guys have your own solo projects. You know, I've just been keeping tabs on you guys over the past year. And what is the current project that I've seen? You know, I think I saw the Harvey Mason project, man, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I have a couple trio CDs where I used 12 different pianists. And some of the greatest jazz pianists today. Kirby Hancock, Chick Corea, Brad Meldow, Melvin Miller, and Cedar Walton, and on and on and on, and Dave Grusin and Bob James, and one track won a record, she won a Grammy, so it was great. And I have a second one that I released in the same series. It's not out in the United States yet, but it's in Japan, and now I'm working on a new project for Concord Records called the Chameleon Project, which is going back to the old Chameleon days, but moving forward. And I'm really excited about it. I'm taking my time to record it. It won't be ready until the middle of 2013, and maybe out near the end of 2013.
Wow, that's amazing, man.
Very, very excited about that CD.
You know, as a producer, Harvey, I mean, you're such an extraordinary drummer percussionist, but as a producer, man, tell me, you know, what sort of song structure and arrangements that you try to apply in the process that you take when receiving songs from other artists and songwriters, you know, kind of put together as an album?
Well, generally, I have a concept for the album, and I try and follow that. I work with one of the greatest producers of all time, Quincy Jones, and I kind of use his model. I listen to a lot of songs, I see how they come together, and then I look at musicians as an actress, actors and actresses. My friend, I cast them for the songs, and that's how I work it out. As far as the song, you can feel if the song's a good song, and I try and write. I'm always writing. When I'm not playing and I'm home, I'm spending time writing, and I write with people and collaborate a lot. So that's my model. This is a good song. It's a good song. I don't care where it comes from. And I listen to everything that everyone sends me, and, you know, just try and find great songs.
Right. Now, do you have a team of producers and session musicians that you work with, or do you kind of grab the guys from 4Play to kind of help out on your projects?
Oh, no. It's everywhere. Generally, different projects, it's always different people. You know, it's just different people and different musicians, and I just use musicians that I think are perfect for a particular project. So I don't have a standard group of musicians.
Right. You know, also, man, I wanted to ask you, Harvey, you know, with all the experience that you've had in recording and performing live, give me your opinions on the DAW formats of recording and your analog recordings. I mean, what really gives you that sonic taste as a drummer? I mean, as far as playback and once it's processed, man, what formats do you prefer?
As far as the digital or the analog?
Yeah.
Because I've been playing, digital's been so great and it's so easy. But as far as workability, I enjoy the digital format better. As far as the sound goes, I think there are so many debates as far as what is better, the analog or the digital. And I haven't really gone back and done much comparison as far as the old records and the CDs. I'm just in the digital domain, and I'm moving forward in that because that's the process that's prominently used today, and it's not going to go back to analog.
Right.
Not really. So I'm in this mode, and for me right now, this is the greatest mode because it's the most flexible, it's the easiest to work with, and you can do so much with it. You can sort of emulate the analog mode because there are now side pieces that you can use to sort of help create that sound that you would get from an analog recording. So I'm in the digital domain to stay, and I don't think we're going to go back. But there are, as I said, there are analog pieces, There are auxiliary pieces that you can use that will help create the sound of analog music, even though you've recorded in the digital domain.
Yeah, definitely. I wanted to ask you too. I mean, are you using a lot of mic pre's and converters on your setup within the studio and live performance? Do you have a consistent rig that you use consistently, or does it really change on the environment?
It depends on the environment. It depends on the engineer a lot of times, you know. It depends on the engineer, it depends on the sound they're looking for. And I don't do much recording at home. I usually record it at studios. And so it a lot depends on the engineer and the approach that he wants to use with the sound I'm looking at. But nowadays, a lot of sounds, a lot of drums have a lot of processing.
Right.
There's a lot of processing going on with these drums now.
You know, speaking of the processing, the way technology has evolved, Harvey, as a drummer, I mean, we hear a lot of songs nowadays, especially on the pop markets and in the hip-hop and R&B, and some smooth jazz, maybe contemporary jazz, with the electronic drums and programming versus live playing. As a drummer, man, I got to ask, do you use both in your compositions, or is it strictly acoustic live playing on your performances?
Well, it's funny, when I write my songs at home, I very, very, very rarely ever play live with them. I use electronic drums, program electronic drums, and the Dembos have electronic drums. But when I record them, especially for 4Play, then I replace that sound and I play on top of it. Not unless it's a tune that's in a particular genre where you would expect to hear electric drums or the sounds that could be sort of, extraordinary. So generally speaking, I'll replace the Dembo sound with the drums, which I used to. And put acoustic drums on it. I think one thing about 4Play is we use acoustic drums, and that's why we stand out, I think, because everyone plays and we can play. When you come to hear us live, you see and you hear that. You hear sounds very, very similar to what you heard on the record. I think that's one of the wonderful things about 4Play. People come to hear us, and they realize these guys can really, really play. You know, a lot of other people, you come to hear their records, and it doesn't sound close to the same.
No, I totally agree. Yeah, you know, I talk a lot, you know, to my guests and, you know, just other musicians around me. I'm a real big fan of how my music translates from the studio and on stage. And, you know, if I have a dedicated fan base, I think everybody wants to get the sense of the CD and translating into a live environment. I mean, because sometimes, like you mentioned, it is night and day. But using those original instruments and musicians on the CD and on stage really captures the essence of the original material.
Exactly right. And that happens with 4Play from the very beginning. And we're going on 22 years now.
Wow, man, that's that's a great journey, Harvey. That's excellent.
Yeah, it's been a great journey. We're enjoying every moment of it.
Wow.
It's so much fun.
You know, I got to ask, man, you know, finding your creative zone, you know, with all the experience that you have, even before Foreplay with Herbie and Bob James and George Benson, I mean, do you find your creative zone on stage or is it in the studio where you can focus on your writing?
Well, you know, it's funny. I geared my entire career from the very beginning to the studios. And that was my dream, that was my goal, and I achieved that, and I really enjoyed it. But then at some point, I transitioned into Foreplay because studio work was changing. It wasn't much going on. And I had such a great and varied career for so long that I could see the change coming. So I made the transition to Foreplay as my primary focus. And, you know, I really kind of got into live playing a lot more now, and I love it. I love playing with the people and the people seeing what I'm doing. And I marvel. I'm amazed that people just are so intrigued by my playing because they've heard me on records. A lot of people haven't seen me, and they don't know how I do what I do.
Right.
So now drummers even watching say, oh, so that's how you did that. Well, they couldn't believe that I could do that without a particular thing without overdubbing, which I don't do much of. So it's been fun to play live, but I have to say, when I go in the studio to record, I really feel all of a sudden like, oh my goodness, I'm back at home. And the special magic comes in then, because that was my thing, and that's what I was geared to. So I enjoy both. I love playing live now, but when I go back in the studio, automatically it's just a huge smile comes to my face. I realize that this is really what I had intended to do, and I really love it, and I really miss it.
No, I totally agree with you, Harvey. I'm a studio junkie myself, man. You know, I love performing and playing with other guys, but it's just one thing for me just to really focus on the material, really build my chops as a player and just really focus on my arrangements and compositions. And, you know, I think a lot of it, too, is when you become a session player, you're playing so many guys' material, everyone's asking for your style and your chops. You automatically come in that studio junkie zone from bouncing from session to session. So I think a lot of that has to play into it, like you mentioned.
Oh, it's so much fun. It keeps it so interesting, and it keeps you right on point because you don't know what you're going to do from one day or one session to the next. You know, you can have two different types of music in the same day, and it's so fresh. And before you know it, the time's over. It's time to go. So it's really, really, studio playing is a lot of fun, and if you get a chance to really do it, I think, and it's amazingly rewarding, especially when you get to the point where I haven't heard a quarter of the records I've recorded, and you know, all the big movies I've done, and so it's fun now. I'm starting to discover more and hear more, and I hear something and I said, that sounds like me, and they say, oh yeah, that was me. And so it's really kind of fun to do that, and I feel very fortunate and very blessed to have participated for so long. I started in 1970.
Wow. And you're still here, man. And, you know, I was going to ask, too, it's like, you know, I look at a lot of the legends like you, Harvey, and Bob James, and Nathan East, and Chuck Loeb, and I feel that you guys gotten better as you got older, you know, and I'm always looking, I say, gosh, man, that's why I'm always going to be a student of the game. I just feel that the ears just gets tuned in when you get older with age, and it could just be from all the music and arrangements that you guys have done, and I mean, your own musical journey, but, you know, I just felt like all the older musicians were always the best to me.
Well, I think a lot of it's attitude, too, as well, because if you keep an open mind and you really are still searching, you know, we're still searching, we're still trying to find that magical place. Every time we play, we look for that magic. And so if you keep that in mind, you don't feel like you have it and you own it and you're the best you can possibly be, then you're going to continue to search, and hopefully, if you're healthy, you can still continue to grow, and that's a big thing, too, is try to remain healthy. Very, very important.
Right. Now, promoting yourself as a musician, Harvey, has changed within the past, you know, 10 to 15 years. What steps have you maintained on a solo level and also with Foreplay in your marketing campaign that you feel that you guys have a benefit from, you know, to establish a fan base and stay on the radar?
Well, as you know, you have to have a website, if you're a personal website. Then we went through the MySpace era, and then we're in the Facebook era, and then we're in the tweeting era, and so there are just so many things that just keep moving forward, and you just have to participate in those things as they come along and stay current. That's basically it. You're putting yourself out there, and it's a social media now. That's a big deal.
Yeah. So what's on the musical agenda for 2012 and moving into 2013?
Well, we're completing 2012 now. Foreplay has been off. We played last weekend. And we are off until November 2nd when we do a few dates with San Diego. We do Las Vegas, and we go to Austin, Texas. And then we're off 2 days, and then we go back to Europe for the second time. We just came back to Europe. We're going to go back to Europe and play about 5-6 dates. And then we move to Nigeria, Lagos. And we're playing, you know, Nigeria is one of the richest countries in Africa. We're going to be playing there 2 concerts with 1 night off in between. And then we're finished for the year on the 18th. And from there, I'm going to take a little side trip to the country of Niamey, Niger. Niger, my cousin is the U.S. ambassador, so I'm going to go there for 5 days and stay at the embassy. But wow, we're off basically after that to the end of the year.
Nice. Man, it's a full agenda, man.
We've been going and going and going. We just came back from a Mediterranean cruise where we were 2 weeks away. We were in Spain, Barcelona, and Rome, and Nice, and Capri, and we're Florence, and Toulon, and then ended up with 5 days in Aruba. So we've been running like crazy. It's been very, very busy.
Wow.
And we enjoy it. And Bob's 73, and he's still cranking.
It's the music, man. Keeps us going, keeps us young.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Well, Harvey, it's been a pleasure again, you know, talking to you. It's always a big inspiration for me to talk to you, man. Every time I get off the phone, I get inspired to write again, so that's always a good thing.
Well, writing is very important. It's kept me in the game as long as playing. But again, Esprit de Four is a very special record having to do with the unity and the love that we all have for each other. It's like all for one and one for all. And I think the music of the CD really exemplifies that. And I think the cover shows that. And I'm really excited about it. And I hope the fans will go out and support it and check it out and feel the music.
Definitely. Well, Harvey, you have a safe 2012 and 2013. And best of luck to you.
Thanks very much, Spud. And I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And a big shout out and thank you to Mr. Harvey Mason Sr. for coming on the show and chopping it up with me. Again, I'm just a big fan of Harvey Mason Sr. I mean, he has so much experience as a musician, playing with other legends such as Herbie Hancock, George Benson, Bob James. And aside from that, he's doing his own thing as a solo artist, drummer, percussionist as well. For more information on 4Play and Harvey Mason Sr., you need to check out their website at www.4playjazz.com. www.4playjazz.com. And for my past and current interviews, you can hit me up at www.spudtootight.com. www.spudtootight.com. And to close out the show, I'm going to let the track that's playing in the background close out the show. And the title of this track is called Esprit de Four, and it is the title of the newest CD from 4Play. So I want to thank everybody for tuning and listening in. Until next time, you guys keep it tight. Peace. Thank you.
We'll be right back.